Let me invite you to take your Bible, please, and let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, we are quickly coming to a close of our study that we have entitled Truth. We knowing that truth is the antidote to apostasy or the falling away from that which God has given unto us. There were many in the day in which Peter wrote whom had made a profession of faith, but now are tempted to fall away, to go back from that profession because of the trials, the difficulties of life. That's really what 1 Peter is all about. 2 Peter has to deal with the fact of those being drawn away because of false teaching or false doctrine. So Peter is writing, as we understand, to warn us of the dangers of those false teachers and really to prove to us that our faith in Christ is real, it is genuine, and it is all that we need. Since chapter 2 of this book, Peter has been dealing sternly with the false teachers and with those who are the scorners, those that refuse to believe. There will be those who will be confronted with the truth, and Peter says they will not believe. And therefore, he writes to us and helps us to see how we can confront those issues and those problems today. The challenge that is before us is that we not become a casualty ourselves of the false doctrine, or the casualty of the false teaching, that we would protect our hearts and protect our minds, and that we would focus upon the truth, that we not fall away from the faith once delivered unto us. This morning, our focus is going to cause us to look really at verse 4 down through verse 14. I'm going to invite you to follow along with me. I'm going to start in verse 3 and then read down through those verses before we have a word of prayer. Peter writes, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, and by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was then, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him, in peace, without spot, and blameless. Would you pray with me, please? Our Father, as we approach the passage of Scripture that's before us this morning, as we come and seek to understand those things which we need to know in order that we might grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might live in such of a way that brings honor and glory unto him, I pray today, Father, that you would teach us. I pray, Father, today that you would quiet our hearts. I pray that no matter what problems we have brought with us today, that we can leave them at the feet of the Savior, knowing that he is able to meet our needs, knowing that he will supply according to his perfect will, and knowing that one day soon all of this will come to pass. We will enter into glory. We will no longer struggle with the pains of this life. For when we see him, we will be made like unto him. And there is a day coming where all in which we now see will pass away. And we will enter into that eternal state and be with our God forever and ever. Father, we look forward to that day, but we are mindful that while we wait the coming of the Lord, there are those who need to hear the good news of the gospel. There are those whose lives need to be impacted and changed by the truth. There are some here this morning who come with pain of heart, who need to be comforted. There are those who come today with confusion, who need to be given clarity. There are some here today who are considering walking away from the ways of God, and yet they need to recognize that there is only one way that leads to blessing, and Jesus is that way. So, Lord, we ask and pray that you would teach us today from your word according to your truth, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We mentioned last week in our study that Peter is dealing with those who are scoffers, those who are questioning the very doctrines of God. They are denying the truth that has been delivered unto us. The main truth that Peter deals with in chapter 3 is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were those who would say that Jesus Christ is not coming again. And by saying so, they were denying the truth that one day they will stand and give an account before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Paul wrote and told us in Philippians chapter 2 that the Lord Jesus Christ left the glory of heaven and came to this earth. He was made like unto sinful men and went to the cross of Calvary, and there he died, shedding his blood for you and me. He humbled himself for the purpose of God's redemption, that you and I might be saved and come to Christ. Then at the end of that passage, we find that because he humbled himself, God has also highly exalted him. And God has given him a name which is above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess he is Lord. And every soul will give an account before God. Yet there are some today who want to deny such a truth, that there is a coming judgment. As you and I look at 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter's going to, in these verses 4 through 10, deal with the reality of the looming day of judgment. Again, we saw that Peter is seeking to combat the ignorance of the world, an ignorance which denies the very coming of Jesus Christ. Yet our study of verses 4 through 10 makes it very clear that there is a day coming, and maybe that day will be soon. Jesus Christ is coming again. In verse 4, they say, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, things continue as they were from the beginning. We saw last week that Peter fights against that, combats that ignorance by reminding of them what had taken place already. God is the one who created all things and therefore has the right to destroy that which we now see, because he is the one who made it all. And if we don't believe that is true, then all that we must remember are the days of Noah, where God destroyed the world as it was. And now it exists as it is after the judgment of God. We are told in verse 8 not to be ignorant, that a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. We ought not to be upset by the delay of God's coming, nor ought we to think that he is not coming because of that delay. One day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. But notice, please, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come.
It will come as a thief in the night. We won't be looking for it. We won't be expecting it. But please understand, it will come. The coming of the Lord, His return, is imminent. So then why do so many reject the doctrine of His coming? The reason is that many say that His delay in coming is proof that all things stay as they were. Nothing will ever change. Peter tells us, though, that man is willfully ignorant. He desires to live according to his own lust, according to his own desires. The reality is, folks, people don't want to face the fact that Christ is coming again because they don't want to consider judgment, because they want to live in their sin. For a man to accept that Jesus Christ is coming again, he has to reckon with the truth that one day he must give an account and stand before the one who is Lord of all. But again, verse 10 tells us that day of the Lord is coming. Folks, God's word, the Bible, is true. And His word never fails. The day of judgment is coming. Every man will give an account before God. But I want you to notice something with me, because it's a wonderful thought. Because, folks, before judgment, verse 10, and that's what verse 10 is about. The day of the Lord is coming. It's as a thief in the night. The heavens pass away. There's a great noise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. There is the judgment of God, verse 10. That day's coming. Would you note what comes before it? And how blessed it is to consider verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Before judgment, folks, in this passage, Peter reminds us of salvation. There is no man that needs to stand at the great white throne judgment to give an account for his sins. At that great white throne judgment, those who stand there will be found guilty before God. They will be forever cast into the lake of fire and for all eternity pay the penalty for their sin. No one needs to stand there, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Have you accepted that free gift of salvation granted to you by the Lord Jesus Christ because of His willing sacrifice on Calvary? Are you willing to share that good news with others around you who need to hear the wonderful message that, yes, judgment comes, but before judgment, there is the wonderful blessing of forgiveness? We have entered into the Christmas season. We're focused upon a baby born in a manger. We're considered that Christ is Lord of all. He comes to this earth. And folks, you recognize that in the second coming of God, there will be judgment. But His first coming was for salvation. He came that He might die upon the cross of Calvary. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. They will call Him Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. But folks, do you recognize that although He came to save, not all will receive? Some will scoff, and they will face the wrath of God. The day of the Lord is coming. Judgment awaits. But folks, you and I in this age of grace have an opportunity to be able to share the wonderful truth of salvation. God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. What a wonderful message we have to proclaim. In these verses, Peter wants to remind us all that there is a day where everyone will give an account before God. And God's desire is not one, would perish. As we pick up in verse 11 and go down through verse 14, what we note and where we want to spend the majority of our time this morning is simply this. Peter is now going to say, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. He asks a question. What manner of persons ought ye to be? And so Peter shares with us a lifestyle appropriate for those who call themselves Christians. If the day of judgment is coming, and it is, if all things will not just continue on as they are today, then how should we live in light of such a truth? Folks, all things will not continue on. There is a day coming when Jesus Christ will call his bride home. It's called the rapture. You and I will be escorted into heaven, and there we will stand and give an account before God, and this world is going to go through judgment. If the day of judgment is coming, and it is, Peter poses the question, then how ought we to live? And in these verses, I think Peter gives to us four thoughts to consider about the lifestyle choices that we make. Seeing that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? So as we begin to answer the questions, let me pause and remind you of just how precious and practical doctrine should be. Sometimes we think about Bible doctrines and we think of them as high and lofty, things to which maybe we cannot attain unto. Folks, do you realize that the truth, doctrine, is given in order that it might have an impact upon your life and my life today? The truth is given that we not go astray. It is practical by nature. When you and I consider the truth of God's word, when we consider these wonderful doctrines such as the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, understand that that truth is given that it might change the way you live today. It should change the way we live tomorrow in the days to come as we wait for the coming of the Lord. Peter has revealed to us the important doctrinal truth concerning the end times. He has clearly showed us that there is a day coming when all that we now see will be done away with. He is about to tell us that there is a new heaven and a new earth to come, and how wonderful that is to consider. This sin-cursed earth will be done away with. And you and I will enter into an eternal state and a new heaven and a new earth, and there be with our God for all eternity. Yet with those precious thoughts comes a practical challenge. What manner of person ought you to be as you wait for the coming of the Lord? A couple things I want you to see with me as we consider such a question. What manner of persons ought ye to be? First of all, I want you to note with me down in verse 12, if we could. Now, verse 12 tells us that we as Christians waiting for the coming of the Lord ought to live in such of a way that it is noted that we live with an earnest expectation. We live with an earnest expectation. Look at verse 12, if you would. Peter writes and says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. We are to be looking for the coming of the day of God. If we are going to seek to live a holy lifestyle, a lifestyle that is well-pleasing unto our God, a lifestyle that God looks down upon us and says, well done, good and faithful servant, as we wait the coming of the Lord, then you and I ought to be living with an earnest expectation. Are we looking for the coming of the Lord? There ought to be on our part this earnest expectation. Jesus is coming again. Are we looking for that day? Do we expect it? Maybe even today. Jesus Christ is coming again. We sing the hymn, maybe today my Lord will come for me. Maybe today my Savior I shall see. Maybe today from sin I shall be free. Jesus will come and I will go home. It may be today. Would that excite your soul if the trumpet sounded? Are you looking for the coming of Jesus Christ? With the shout of the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ to rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with our Lord. Maybe today our Savior comes. Peter says, as I know the truth of the coming of God, it should cause me to live with an earnest expectation, looking for the day of God. You may wonder why we live with an expectation for the day of God, and what exactly is that day of God as Peter refers to it. As Peter calls it here, the day of God, it's a little different phrase from the day of the Lord or other expressions that we find. This phrase, the day of God, refers to the day yet in the future. It is that day after the rapture, after the millennial reign of Christ, after all the judgments. It is that future day when we enter into the eternal state of glory, when a new heaven and a new earth are made for us to enjoy. We are looking forward to that day. The day that we are forever with the Lord. Folks, when you and I look forward to that day, we recognize that in that day we will no longer be bothered by the problems of sin. I want you to think about just for a moment how wonderful it'll be even in the rapture. We're with God in glory. We come back and rule reign upon the earth. But folks, you know what we have to witness for 1,000 years? Although the Lord will reign and the earth will be at peace, there is still the effects of sin, because in the last part of that time, Satan will be loose and he will gather an army and come against God. There is still rebellion within the heart of men. But on the day of God, when the heavens and earth are passed away and a new heaven and a new earth are created, we stand in a place where there is no more sin even to see and behold. A wonderful, beautiful, eternal estate where there is no longer sin. What a great day that will be. Jesus Christ is coming again, perhaps very soon. There will be no more problems and pains associated with sin. Sin is done away with, and the eternal joys will be ours to enjoy. Are we looking forward to that day, living with an earnest expectation that Jesus Christ is coming again? Or are we like the scoffers who say, well, the coming of the Lord isn't soon. The coming of the Lord doesn't draw nigh. I can live as I want to live. I can live according to my pleasure, according to my lust, according to my desires. Peter says, if I understand the doctrine of the coming of Christ and the fact that he could come at any moment, and in the twinkling of an eye, I can be in his presence. Therefore, I will live with an earnest expectation that Jesus Christ is coming again. Those who are looking and watching for the coming of the Lord are not overcome with the cares of this life. Live with an earnest expectation. But verse 12 tells me not only should I live with an earnest expectation, but because I know that the day of the Lord is coming and Jesus Christ will one day return for you and me, I ought to live, see if I can get this to work a little better today, live with a purposeful service. Look back at verse 12. We are to be looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Peter tells us that we who will live holy and godly lives will be living with a purposeful service for the Lord. We are looking, but we are hasting unto the coming of Christ. The idea again of that phrase is live with a purposefulness, a desire to serve. Verse 10 tells us the day of the Lord will come, even though Christ delays today. He delays because he is not willing that any should perish. He longs for all to come to repentance. God knows all things. He knows who will trust him. He knows who will reject him. He has given man a free will. He has called us to do the work of spreading the good news of the gospel. Although he delays today, he waits upon all. He desires that men would be saved. If you and I know such a truth, and we long for the coming of the Lord, then what ought you and I to do? You and I ought to be involved in serving God. Hasting on the coming of the day of the Lord as we go forth and serve and share the good news of the gospel. We must be willing to do our part, to be diligent, seeking to help bring men to repentance. We have the good news of the gospel in order that we might share. It's not a truth that we conceal. It's not a truth that we hide from others. It ought not be a truth that we are ashamed to proclaim or afraid to declare. It ought to be a truth upon our lips, a willingness to share with all those that we come in contact with, because there is a day coming that Jesus Christ is returning to earth. I know it's not easy to share the gospel in these days. I know we're told it's not politically correct. I know that when you go to your office and your workplace, there's a few things you're just not supposed to discuss. You're not supposed to discuss politics, and you're not supposed to discuss religion. Now, you're allowed to do that if you don't believe in religion and you're liberal in politics. But if you're conservative in politics and a born-again believer, you're not supposed to share those things. It's politically incorrect. Since when did Baptists concern themselves with political correctness? We need to share the good news of the gospel. And by the way, whom do we obey? God or Caesar? Now, I render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, but I render unto God the things that are God's. And therefore, I'm called to share the good news of the gospel. Why? Because I'm hasting to the coming of the Lord. I understand Jesus Christ is coming again. And therefore, I, with purposefulness of life, will seek to serve the Lord. Folks, what are the vast majority of people today who name the name of Christ doing in light of the coming of Christ? It's almost as if there's the mindset that says, well, if Jesus Christ is coming again and soon I'm going to enter into heaven, I better get all that I can get here upon this earth because soon I won't have that opportunity. Think about this for a moment. Everything that you obtain, everything that you build, every possession that you buy, the home that you have, your jewels, whatever's important to you, those things that are precious, that you're sure to show everyone when they come to your home, all those things, one day will melt with a fervent heat. And you will not enjoy them in the eternal state. In fact, if Jesus Christ doesn't come while you're alive, you're not going to enjoy him for much longer because soon you'll die. Folks, we're living with the wrong values. We're living for the things of this earth. And Peter's saying, but don't. because this earth will pass away. Live with a purpose to serve God. There is a day that Jesus Christ is coming again. Spread the good news of the gospel. The fields are white unto harvest. Serve the Savior with purpose of heart. We come down to verse 14, and we find yet another responsibility for us. In verse 14, we are told, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless." The third thing I want you to see with me, we live with an earnest expectation, we live with a purposeful service, and we ought to live with a peaceable spirit. Peter challenged us to live as we live in light of the truth that we would be found in him in peace, to live with a peaceable spirit. It most likely deals with our reference to dealings with others around us. We are to live as believers with a peaceable spirit. And folks, that challenge is given to us over and over in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 4 tells us we are to follow peace with all men. In James chapter 3 and verse 17, we are told that wisdom that is from above is first pure, then it is peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, and full of mercy. Paul in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24 tells us that the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. We are to live with a peaceable spirit. Beloved, there is no reason to live in strife. Strife exists because of our selfish desires. We ought to be striving for peace. We are not seeking to get fame or power. We don't need to have everything our way. There's the desire and the need for us to be peaceable in spirit, learning the art of a good compromise. We should be willing to esteem others better than ourselves. It should be Jesus first, others second, and you and I in dead last. Peter says that as we live, recognizing the coming of the Lord, we ought to live with a peaceable spirit. We're looking for the coming of the Lord. And therefore, we are diligent to be found in peace. A peaceable spirit. I like the counsel that Richard DeHaan gave in his commentary on 2 Peter. He makes this observation. He says this: when we realize that we are a dying people on a planet about to be destroyed, we will not selfishly fight for fleeting fame or perishing riches. Folks, we are a dying people on a planet about to be destroyed. How are we living? Peter says to us that there is a need, as we live in light of eternity, to live with an earnest expectation. Jesus Christ is coming again. We live with purposeful service, recognizing that there is a need that we share the good news of the gospel, that we spread that truth that men might believe. We live with one another in a peaceable spirit, not with strife, but seeking to strive to be at peace. There's one final thing that he shares with us in verse 14. It's found in those last few words, without spot and without blame, blameless. We are to live with moral integrity, without spot, blameless. If there is a day of judgment coming, and there is, you and I should seek to live a life that is pure, holy, blameless, where nothing is charged to our account, but instead we are seeking to exalt the wonderful majesty of our Savior, when Jesus Christ returns to take us home and we finally see him, the Bible says that on that day, I will finally be like him. Sin is gone. And I'll live for all eternity pure and holy. The blessing, folks, is I can live that way now here upon the earth. Jesus Christ is coming again. I have a duty and a responsibility to share that truth, to live with that desire for him to return sooner rather than later. I want to serve him with all my heart, and I'm peaceable, and I live with moral integrity, that my message be not destroyed, hampered, but my life is blameless. The Apostle John makes this point abundantly clear when he writes in his first epistle in 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Folks, Jesus Christ is coming today. In fact, it may be today that our Savior comes. Maybe before the first big storm of the year, we get to get out of winter and enter into the eternal state. Amen? I wouldn't mind that one. I said to someone this morning, you know, when we were in Newfoundland, I was praying to go further south. God took me 1,200 miles south and brought me to Maine. It's southern Maine, but it's still Maine, and it's still pretty high up there, and the snow's coming. But folks, maybe today the Savior comes. Maybe today his face we see. Maybe today we'll be like him, and sin in our life is done away. No longer to be bothered with our evil thoughts, our impure motives, the problem of a spirit that's cranky and critical. All those things will one day be done away, and I'll be like my Savior. Peter says, although there are those who deny the coming of the Lord, please be aware, Jesus Christ is coming again, and it may be today. And as you wait for the coming of the Lord, you ought to live as if he is coming even today. You ought to live with a purpose to serve the Savior, not gratify self, not seek your own interest and fulfill your own lust and desires. You ought to live with a peaceable spirit, desiring to help others and serve and meet their needs. And therefore live with purity of life, moral integrity. Jesus Christ is coming again. What manner of persons ought you to be? I'm so thankful that Peter answers that for us and helps us as we await the coming of the Lord. It's that truth that will help you and I from going astray like so many today who practically live as if Jesus Christ is never returning again. But the day of the Lord will come. Let's live in light of the coming of Christ. Father, we thank you and praise you for the time that we've had this morning to look into your word and the truth that is given to us in it. Lord, we recognize and know that we sometimes struggle to think and consider the future. We want to live in the present and in the moment, and in some ways that's okay and that's good, but we ought to be living in light of eternity. And the reality is Jesus Christ is coming again. There is a day when we will hear the trumpet sound, the voice of the archangel will sound, and those of us who know the Lord will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will ever be with him. We also recognize that there's a day coming even beyond that, after the millennial reign, where this earth will be done away with, and we'll enter into that eternal state with a new heaven and a new earth. And what a wonderful day that will be, and how we ought to be looking forward unto that day, how we ought to be hasting unto it. So, Father, I pray that you would cause us to live in light of that which is eternal, and you would cause us to live in such of a way that we would desire to be able to allow our light to shine, that others may hear and know the wonderful truth of salvation made possible through Christ. Lord, we ask and pray that you would cause us to live in light of his return. So Lord, we thank you and praise you for it. We commit all this now unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.